few bigger things. Paul said to Timothy, neglect not the gift that is within thee. You know what? Lack of use is fatal for human organs and also fatal for spiritual gifts. We need to use the gifts that God has given us. And if we don't, you know what happens? Atrophy takes place. It really does. You use it, don't use it, you'll lose it. I think that's the principle. It's just not going to work. You need to use it, just like you need to use your human organs. Lack of use is fatal, and it is with the area of spiritual gifts. That's why he says, neglect not the gift that's within you. He says, stir up the gift that's within thee. And then, let's start small and be faithful in the small things. We've kind of mentioned a little bit about that, but I want to give you a great illustration. D.L. Moody started small. You know what he started doing? Bringing kids to the Sunday school. That's where he began. He didn't feel that he could speak. And so he'd go out and he'd get kids, thousands of them. And he'd just bring, people would come from the other side of Chicago over to where the meetings were, and he had never ever spoken to them publicly, he just brought them. And people asked, well, why do you pass all these other churches and come here to Moody's place? And he says, Moody loves us. He loved those kids. And he brought them, and he was faithful in a little thing. Pretty soon, the guy who was the Sunday school teacher got sick and he couldn't show up one day. And so there were all these kids here, and Moody says, well, somebody better say something to him. So he got up and he spoke. And the folks enjoyed him more than the Sunday school teacher. And so pretty soon, he was teaching Sunday school. And he was faithful in teaching little kids. And God says, I'm going to take this man who's faithful in a little thing, and I'm going to give him the privilege of preaching the gospel to more people than anybody else has ever spoken to. And God did, and he used that man, because he was faithful in little things. And I'll tell you, if you're faithful in little things in your local assembly, God will give you bigger things. But you've got to start with the little things. You've got to take care of them. Gifts, we've said, are developed. You may have pastoral gifts, but you can't minister this to the saints if you don't spend time with them. You've got to develop that. You've got to visit the saints. You've got to spend time in their presence. You've got to be available to them if you're going to use those gifts. They must be developed. You've got the gift of giving. You need to expose yourself to needs and pray for direction where to give. You need to develop the gifts that God has given. The gifts we've said are to be used under the control of the Spirit of God, and under the regulations that are given in Scripture. And you know, there is coming a day of accountability, and we need to stress that. Now, I would strongly suggest that as a result of what we've heard today, that we go away and we go through that questionnaire, and we evaluate it carefully, and we ask that the Spirit of God will reveal to us what our gifts are. I think if you're honest with you, I think it will give you a good idea. And then I think what we need to do is have a passion for developing and using the gifts that God has given. You know what? I think it will have a tremendous impact in our assemblies if everybody does the gift, uses the gift that God has given. Well, we've got about 15 minutes left. I'm going to open it up for questions now. And if I can't answer them, there's Sam and Alan at the back, and they'll gladly come to the front and answer the questions. Yes, sir.
Do you feel that prophecy currently is able to describe the person who tells forth the truth rather than predicting?
Yeah, I personally do not see two grades of prophecy. I think the gift of prophecy has ceased. And the reason for that is that Scripture doesn't say that there are two levels, you know, because some of these guys that say give a word from the Lord, some of it's wrong. Well, the Old Testament and New Testament prophets, when they spoke under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, it was right, always. Also, if you still have the gift of prophecy, what you're saying is Scripture is not complete. And I think God has said everything that He needs to say. It's all here. That His last word is given us in Hebrews 1, isn't it? That in times past He spoke through the fathers, to the prophets, in these last days He's spoken through His Son. The last word has been given. There's nothing else to come. So I personally do not believe the gift of prophecy in any shape or form is here extant today. Now, I don't know, maybe Sam, do you disagree with that or agree with that?
No, I agree. prophecy is revealing something divinely written that could not be understood in any other way. I think today we confuse the word prophecy with teaching. Mm-hmm. And that's what they, I think what we see today is exercise of those gifts, not prophecy.
Right. Okay. Anybody else? Yes, sir.
I would like to add that we don't see the key of worship. Sadly, in our worship meeting, we kept silent because we probably think that they're going to stand up and say something. But there's no key for that. Everybody has to love worship.
Right. Amen. There is no gift of worship in Scripture, right? That worship is something that every believer priest, both male and female, are to be about. Now, the men worship audibly, the sisters silently, but nevertheless, it's not dependent on gift. Okay? It really isn't. And the heart of a worshiper is a very thrilling thing, and we need to exercise that. Yes, sir?
Along that line. Could have been you, could have been another speaker upstairs or upstairs. When you're in any kind of public meeting, is it permissible for the ladies in the crowd to audibly say, Amen?
Okay. Personally, I think it is okay to say Amen. Because they're also involved in corporate singing, aren't they? We don't, and it's a good job we don't say the sisters can't sing, else we'd be in serious trouble. But I believe what it's saying is that silence is in the context of public ministry. Right? I mean, that's what it's in 1 Corinthians, that's what it's saying. It's the prophet, the tongue speaker. It's the public ministry, whereas women are not taking a lead by saying Amen, neither are they taking any lead in singing hymns. Maybe I haven't explained that well, but you want to help me out there, Alan?
No, I totally agree. I think it's that the corporate representative of the body that our women are in charge of,
right,
as the representative in the presence of God for the entire corporate body.
Mm-hmm.
But I love when I hear a soft saying to my sisters.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Mm-hmm. What role do the elders play in the local assembly in discerning and picking out and encouraging spiritual gifts in the rest of the flock?
Well, I certainly believe that encouragement is really an important ministry. In other words, if you see people in your assembly that are functioning according to their gifts, to pull alongside them and say, look, we just really appreciate the gift of hospitality that you have and what a difference it's, you know, encouragement goes a long way. That's one thing. Secondly, I do believe that there needs to be a consciousness of who in the assembly is not seemingly functioning according to any gift. Maybe we need to go and give them a questionnaire and get them thinking about what is their gift. Also, I think the area of confirmation. I know when I first began speaking publicly, one of the men that was a great encouragement to me, he came alongside and said, Mike, I really appreciate what you've done, and I want to encourage you to develop that, to work at it. And he gave me specific things that I could do to develop it. Now, that would be a thing for elders to do too. You see somebody that is showing evidence of a certain gift in a certain area, pull alongside and say, you know, this is really wonderful to see. Let's develop it, and here's how. Okay? But I think there are things. I think the elders play an important role in that. But especially in the area of encouragement. I just believe there's so much around us as we see our society crumbling that would discourage, and that encouragement is really needed in our assemblies. And I think the elders can do a great job in going around and doing that. Yes, sir.
The gift of administration has been perhaps a little confusing to me in that we say spiritual gifts is not natural ability and so on, but have you ever seen anybody who was skilled in spiritual administration and didn't have sort of natural love, that they were practicing it in the rest of their life as well?
Mm-hmm. I think that's you're right there. I have not personally seen anybody that has the gift of administration that doesn't do it in their public arena too. But I do believe that the difference is that when you apply this to spiritual matters, it takes on a different meaning. And I think that's important to discern that. Like, the assembly is not a business. And sometimes somebody who has the natural ability of an administrator but not the spiritual gift can try and run the assembly like it's a business. And that falls flat because we're not a business. And I think one of the things that is killing to many assemblies is that we try and operate it on a non-spiritual basis. You know, we try and run it like it is a corporation. And so I think that the one that has the spiritual gift of administration not only has the ability to do that, but he always bears in mind this is an organism, not an organization. And so he doesn't run it like a business. Yes, sir.
In 1 Corinthians 12, describe the verse, it says, for one is given the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, and then keep going faith, to another affecting miracles. And then in chapter 14, it talks about, for one who speaks to the tongue does not speak to man, for no one understands, but one who prophesies speaks. Just talking about single gifts in a literature, one person having one gift, only that person having that gift.
Well, I think there are other scriptures that would indicate that that was not the case. Like, for instance, in Acts 13, I think, where you have the assembly in Antioch, it says there were 5 prophets and teachers in that assembly, functioning. And by the way, I really believe that that is the pattern, that that an assembly does not believe in a one-man ministry, but nor do we believe in an any-man ministry. We believe in a plural gifted ministry. And I believe in every assembly there ought to be more than one of each gift in evidence. Because it'd be an awful burden on the one person with the gift of hospitality to do all the hospitalizing, or however you say it, right? And so I believe that God gives different gifts to different individuals, but more than one in each assembly. And there's great balance in that too. You know, the wonderful thing about, for instance, just in the area of teaching, of the plural gifted ministry, is that as people come at the same passage from a different, like if Alan came up and taught the same thing I'm doing today, he'd probably come at it from a different angle. And God uses the difference, not that there's any contradiction, but to pique some of our understanding and our attention. There are some speakers that just appeal to certain types of individuals and some that appeal to others, right? God uses each one. And so I believe there are plural gifts. And I also believe that individuals can have more than one gift. And again, I have scriptural reason for believing that. For instance, I do not believe that Paul had just one gift. I believe that he was a tremendous Bible teacher. He could speak till midnight and only one person fell asleep, so that's pretty good going, right? He was an apostle, and he was an evangelist, and he was a shepherd. That's 4 in one person. And you can see that in others. Right? So I think, you know, that, and you, I think you fill that form and you'll find that there's more than one, you might find there's more than one area that you particularly outstanding in. Okay, anybody else? Final question. And if it's a good one, I've got away lightly. Go on.
What's your thought on the gift in Ephesians where it talks about pastor, teacher? Some you read who feel that only a single gift as opposed to two gifts.
I've read arguments both ways, and I personally believe that two distinct things.
Thank you.
Pastor and teacher. Now, it's possible to have the gift of teaching and also have a shepherd's heart. But I don't believe that that is one individual necessarily, although it's possible to be in one individual, but I see them as in their separate gifts. And I would see Ephesians 4 in a slightly different light, in that Ephesians is speaking of the assembly as a whole rather than a local assembly. The whole emphasis in Ephesians is on the body of Christ universal. And I believe that God has given to the church gifted men to the whole church. For instance, the gift of apostle was not to one local church, was it? You know, you find that Paul, everywhere you find him, is somewhere else. I mean, it was to the church universal. I believe that the New Testament prophet had a circulatory ministry in the New Testament. And I even believe evangelists, that there are men that are given to the whole church, that you can't confine them to one assembly. And so I would say, I believe there are global shepherds. A good friend of mine, Sam Robinson, who Alan knows real well, I believe that man is a global shepherd who has got a heart big enough to encompass the world in shepherding care. And he calls me in Ireland frequently to see how I'm doing spiritually. And I know that he follows Alan all over the place too, and I know a lot of other men. And so I believe that he is a man who's given as a gift to the church universal. I believe Boyd Nicholson, for instance, his ministry is far bigger than any one local church. I know a lot of people look to him for counsel and advice. I think his ministry is global. I think he's a gift to the church. And I think Ephesians 4 would teach that. And I'm going to escape because it's 2 minutes to 12 and I'm stopping before anybody brings up any controversy. Let's just pray. Father, we're very thankful for the opportunity that you've given us to look into thy precious word. We would ask that you might use this session this morning to bring honor and glory to our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, we know that he loves the assembly, that he gave himself for it at great cost. We just ask that we might have the same love for the assembly, and that we might to use all the energy and the gift that has been specially bestowed upon us to build up that thing which the Lord Jesus loves. And we'll be very quick to give you the glory for any good that is accomplished as a result of this month, because we know that you alone are worthy. And again, we're just thankful for this opportunity of fellowship one with another. We ask your blessing on our food as we enjoy it together, whether it be here or in other places. We ask that you'll bring us back safely at our next session, and that we might indeed be blessed again as the Word of God is opened. In Jesus' name, amen.